Good morning, dear listener. James here, as I walk home in the fog, or the mist, I guess, from the school run. I was going to say the preschool run, but that was a long time ago. I guess I'm sort of still reflecting on Jana's interesting take on the parent consultations, because I very much like that, because Beth obviously works at a preschool and has her own take on doing it from the staff's point of view. And I've encouraged her to listen to the points that are made, not least because the way the government has implemented things and made it so you get very bad off steady things and break the law and get all kinds of sanctions against you if you don't do it the government's way. Every preschool is pretty much the same. So that's never really a good thing at all, because if every preschool is doing things the same, therefore it's got to be a one size fits all for the children. I think that is pretty much the extent of what I'm going to say on the matter. Safe to say that preschool helpers, they're not teachers. That is the most important thing, I think. These are people who have been, I mean, the qualifications that are required are growing and growing and growing, and Beth's already taken a level 4 NVQ? Anyway, qualification in early years practitioners. And if you don't have that, you can't be a preschool teacher or a preschool assistant or early years development coach, or I don't know what the job title is, but you still get paid absolute peanuts for doing the job. And it's a job which is pivotal to the development of the child. And so in some respects, what the government is doing is, I thought I said this was going to, that was going to be it really, didn't I? What the government is doing is laying down the framework of what the child is supposed to do so that the preschool people don't have to do any thinking. Now, whether or not the Conservative government strikes that off as they are wont to do in such matters, you know, there are often very big changes to the way that almost every matter of society is run when a government changes, or whether even the Liberal Democrats will have a say in the way that schools and education should be done, is another matter. But I think all I'll say is, read the Times Educational Supplement, read the letters, read the articles, read the accounts of what teachers are having to put up with, if you really want to see it from the teacher's point of view. Because there's a lot of richness in there that I think hopefully paint a clearer picture of actually what the parents would want, what the people who want to help the child with their development, with their play, with equipping them for life and also giving them a good childhood want, and of course what the government wants. And never really all marry up, but it seems to be the government against everybody else. Now that's just my point of view, and speaking of which, it's a public forum, and therefore I'm obviously stating my case ill thought out as it is. Now, that brings me on to, of course, the matters of privacy and anonymity, and some interesting and I think pretty much comprehensive points put forward by Simon and Andy and Rob with the high quality recording. I've just got into the house now, so I shall finish this in here. And I think one thing that hasn't been mentioned is the whole anonymity, the fact that there are some people who hide behind nicknames, especially those who, I mean, I don't know, no, it's still rife and rampant in this day and age that people post on forums and in discussion boards and the like with, you know, they just troll basically, and they vent their spleens and they let the anger they have in their hearts out, which is a real shame, because, you know, there's always a place for balanced discussion, but there's a difference between they are effectively publishing things, and because it is published, the people who host what is being published there have a legal obligation to make sure it's not libelous or slanderous. Libelous, I think it is when it's written down. So, as far as privacy goes, I think it was Andy who was saying that in the end, anything could be published. Whatever you write on the internet, unless you encrypt it, could end up being published. Now, whether or not you can get away with spending your whole life online, adopting different identities, just as that Diary of a Call Girl woman did. Was it Diary of a Call Girl? Or at least, you know, I'm really rubbish with names, but these people who have, sort of, and the guy, the policeman as well, and even there's a radio presenter who, you know, I think it's Blonde FM's breakfast DJ who does a spoof blog. If they can maintain their identities, well, fair play to them. But you always perpetually run the risk of being found out. And therefore, the internet is a place where you've got to put some thought into what you write. And I think that's what I want to really instill into my children, is the fact it may be a bit of a playground. But just as in the playground, you end up with bullies and you end up with people scraping their knees, and you could possibly end up with hospitalisation. The internet is exactly the same. And don't forget, what you have seen, you cannot unsee. So anyway, it's 5 to 9. I can't believe I'm out of breath, and all I was doing was walking Helena to school and walking home. And Beth's gone to work. So I have the penultimate day of recovery, which isn't going too well, actually, because I felt rubbish yesterday. I think I'm fighting off a bug, which, given that my sinuses are still a little bit sensitive, I'm praying that won't knock me back into some dreadful state. But for the time being, I'm going to do some housework, I think, just gentle housework. I've got some important letters to write and email to catch up on. I'm going to try and avoid drinking too much coffee, because I don't think, once I've had my first cup of coffee that perks me up, anything else is ends up with a really nasty crash at the end. And I might end up down in the studio, which I've neglected really so far this week. So there we go. Have a lovely day. And this is James Hart, Syzygy, James Elwood Hart. And this is the other, of course, the point I was going to make, actually, is that finding out where somebody lives is very, I think internet obscurity is quite a good thing. If you kind of like, if everybody knows everything about everybody, there's a level playing field. But as soon as, you know, in this, in inverted commas, early days of the internet, where we, it is not pervasive, every fridge is still not on the internet. And I guess IPv6 may actually move that forward a little bit. It's still possible to find, you know, to correlate these facts about people. And in some respects, it's quite nice having a generic name, because if you type me into 123 people, if you type James Hart into 123 people, it's very unlikely you're going to be able to find me. However, if you read my tweets and you look at my audio boot, and I've got to, oh, I'll tell you what, it's such a pain in the arse with these iPhones, because if I record an audio boot at home, yes, in fact, it tells you where I actually recorded the darn thing. Well, I actually moved the map. I moved the pointer a little bit. But even, you know, you could probably tell when my children go to school, because if I record on the way back from the school, it will geolocate me to the road the school was on. So one has to be very careful about keeping one. It's not so much the privacy, it's the information becoming knowledge that troubles me. And on that note, I shall hide away and pretend to be offline for the rest of the day. Some hopes. See you later.